All right. Thank you, young ladies. I appreciate the good special. I appreciate the time they put in to get ready and to do some of the specials for us that the different groups do. And they do a great job. And it's a special blessing. You know, you go to a church that sings the right music, you learn about as much almost from the hymns and the scriptural singing as you do even from the preaching. And I appreciate getting prepared to do it for us. I want you to go to a very familiar story with us in the Bible tonight. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I think perhaps I had heard just something about this story in the Bible. Might be the first one I ever heard anything about when I was about in the third grade. I heard about a young fellow with a slingshot that killed a giant. Now, to me, I thought that was like my flip. See, I carried a pocket of rocks in one pocket and a flip in my back pocket. And don't kid yourself, I was pretty good with it. And truth of the matter is, that's not the kind of flip, the kind of slingshot the Bible's talking about. How many of you know what David's slingshot looked like? Do you? Well, there's some folks pretty accurate with them. My uncle built one, and he'd pick up a Georgia rock and sling that thing and hit the side of the barn, and you'd think the whole barn was going to come down. It hit it so hard. Now, he could hit the barn. I don't know if he could hit anything else with it or not. But the story is intriguing. And I guess what got me thinking about it, I heard in the news on the radio, I believe our radio station, I heard where the archaeologists and the Bible scholars were very excited over some digging they'd found over in Israel. And they thought they'd found the area where David confronted the giant. And not too long ago, in that same area, they dug up some big bones, bigger than the average man. And that was in the news. So I want to just kind of look at the story again a little bit with you tonight, just kind of had it on my mind. And I want to talk to you on the subject, facing the giants. Now, I know there was a Christian movie made not too long ago having to do with a football team, Christian school. It was a good one, kind of movies that the young folks ought to see. And we'll go a little bit different with that tonight. If you pick it up with me in chapter 17 and beginning about verse 28, I tell you what, the whole story, it's a long story in the scripture, but what a blessing it is. And just to read it. You do well to just take time to read it. Beginning in about verse 28, says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he," talking about David, "spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Now that's an older brother accusing a younger brother. And that is a fairly natural thing to want to see what's going on when you're younger, amen? And David said, "What have I now done?" And here's a big statement. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Now, the former manner, if you were to go back up and around verse 23, this champion, the Philistine, has come out and challenged Israel. And the men are so afraid, they won't go out and face him. And David comes up and states that he's not afraid. And somebody says, "Why, if you could kill the Philistine, why, you'd get the king's daughter. You'd get all this reward for doing so." Now, we find out David doesn't do it for that reason. But what a shame when an older teenager at the best, David was just an older teenager, maybe 18, maybe less, when all the brave men of Israel are cowering before the giant, David says, "How can we let this uncircumcised Philistine challenge the God of Israel?" And you know what? We ought to have a little bit of that same thing David had today. As we see our God challenged, as I mentioned a while ago, we ought to have a little bit of that very thing that David had in him right here. And in verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, that was the king, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. We don't know exactly how young, but makes me think that if you keep on reading it, that David probably wasn't old enough to shave yet. Truthfully, if you read all the scripture, you'll get that impression. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Now, Saul was looking for a substitute. You remember Saul was the tallest man in Israel. He was head and shoulders. I mean, if anybody was going to say, go out and face the giant, it'd have been him. He seemed rather reluctant to want to do that. And you know the story. Saul tried to arm David with his armor, but he hadn't proven it, and he wouldn't use it. You know the story, how that he chose five smooth stones, and somebody says, why five? It only took one to kill Goliath. Well, we'll find out as I look at a reference or two, Goliath had some brothers too. Yeah. He wasn't the only giant in the land. But you can go on down and read through all of this. And the Philistine, you remember at verse 42, how he disdained David and he mocked him. But it says here, for he was, in verse 42, for he was but a youth and ruddy. Ready, ruddy, and of a fair countenance. That sounds like he's not shaven yet. I'm just writing that in there. Anyway. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by whose gods? His gods. See the little G? The Philistine's gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. He says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee. Watch it now. He's speaking prophecy here. It hadn't happened yet. He said, I'll smite thee, take thy head from thee. Did you know that David invented rock and roll? He rocked the giant, cut off his head, and it rolled down the hill. Now I'm playing around with it a little bit. But he tells him ahead of time he's going to take his head off. Now remember, he went out there with a shepherd's staff and with a sling. He didn't go out there with a sword. He used the giant's sword later to chop his head off. Boy, this story is such a fabulous thing. You get to thinking about it. Somebody says, are giants real? Oh yeah, they were. And even today, they're still digging up big bones they can't explain in various places, even in America. I think I've told you before that William Cody, remember, he's the one that later on put on the Wild West show and all that, how the Indians dug up some skeletons that were 10 foot tall, back in his day, and he even took them into his Wild West show and made a show to attract people on. And in America, in a lot of places, they have dug up what would have to be the bones of a giant. If you were to go, and I won't ask you to do it, but if you went over to Deuteronomy chapter 3, you'd find a giant over there by the name of Og. And listen, it gives the measurements of how long his bed was, and it was 15 foot. That's fair size. I hadn't measured it, but I would say it's just about as long as this front pew. Now, we had a fellow laying down there, and his feet was there, and his head was there. I'd be kind to him tonight. Amen. He'd pretty well. Somebody says, where does a 1,000-pound gorilla sleep? Anywhere he wants to. And but this giant business was real. There was a bunch of them in the Bible, no doubt about it. You have an evil side to them in Genesis chapter 6 when they were messing with the genes of men. And the Hebrew word, rethim, is in Hebrew, says it's the same word that you find in Isaiah 26 for the lost souls of the dead. There was something supernatural, something spiritual on the wrong side with the sons of God that showed up and went into the daughters of men in Genesis 6. A lot of preachers don't believe that. I do. I believe it's provable even biblically. But there's been a struggle between God and the devil, and the devil has used that illicit relationship, the giants that came from that, and you find it in the Bible, and you find them being the enemy of God, and that's what it was. Old Goliath coming out here challenging the armies of Israel. He was representing the gods of the Philistines, which represent the devil, and against Israel to destroy Israel. And so you see the conflict there. Now, David faced it, and David won, and we know the story, and I'm not going to read it all, but there's some lessons for us to learn from it. Why did David have that courage? How was he able to overcome his fear? Some lessons, because we're in a warfare today still with the devil. Amen. We need to understand that. How did he get his courage? How did he overcome his fear? To begin with, I've already read it to you. He realized there was a big cause. He said, is there not a cause? Now, you know what? There was a big cause. I don't know how much David understood, but do you understand the future seed of the Messiah was involved in these conflicts? Again, the devil's fight against the cause of Christ, and it was through the Messiah that would come that all nations would be blessed, and there was a hatred back there of the enemy of the Philistines, represented here by their champion, Goliath. And by the way, that's hatred still real today. I read you something here a while ago. It is amazing how apparent that hatred of anything godly and right and Christian is being seen today. Same old hatred. The UN resolutions here that you hear about in the news against Israel, that's the same warfare that we're talking about. Yeah. All this going on today, Islam, what did Jesus say? He said the time would come that they would kill you and think they were doing their God a service. Yeah. Several different things was put up here. Maybe I stuck that another one in my Bible here. Here's a fellow here that just got killed. I believe it was today. He was stepping up the court steps. He was being charged because he'd written some cartoons against Islam. And here's the information right here, and I believe it happened today. As he was going up the steps for his trial at the court, it says an assailant, bearded and dressed in gray, worn by the conservative Muslim men, shot this 56-year-old Christian that he's made his way up the steps and killed him. Now, they got the shooter, but if you don't mind getting caught, you can kill anybody. And that's what they're doing. Their statement is, you Christians love life, we love death. And that's the day we've moved into. So this man was assassinated right on the court steps. And it's an anti-Christ spirit. It's an anti-God spirit. It's a hatred that we're seeing today. It's the same warfare that David was involved in here. You see, Satan hates God's church. He hates God's Bible. He hates God's people. And the warfare is very, very real. We got some giants today. We got them in our own country. The ACLU, American Communist Union, against everything that's right. We call them liberals, but that's too good a name for them. They're Christ haters. They're anti-God. They want to take the Ten Commandments out. They don't want it in the public square. They don't want anything to represent God, so they try to get his name even out of Christmas and all the other stuff, and we're seeing that prevail today. It is an amazing how it is, how they hate the Ten Commandments. Listen, If you went to the Supreme Court, you'd find three depictions there in the Supreme Court. The Sergeant of Arms comes out. He's done this ever since 1777. He comes out and opens each week workday with God bless the USA. Amen. God bless the United States of America and this court. That's the way he opens it. But while you walk into the National Archives, you want to walk in and see the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. You can see all that on display. But to get to that, you got to walk by the Ten Commandments first. How come it's all right to put the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court and we can't have them in our courthouses locally? You know the battle we were in and others and Judge Roy Moore in Alabama and all of that. I said to the reporters back during the time that we were fighting over our heritage rock, I said, listen, it's carved on the doors and it's carved in the wall and over the bench in the Supreme Court. How come we can't have it in the county seat courthouse also? The Ten Commandments. Also the image of Moses. Do you understand that Benjamin Franklin, and I'm trying to think, maybe, yeah, Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin both, they wanted and submitted designs for the U.S. seal to depict Moses on it. That was our beginning. That was our foundation. It's come under attack. The same warfare that David was facing with the giant, we still face it today. And the evil giants that we look around today, still around, different names. Let me tell you one, though, that the church has created of its own. Do you know we have an evil giant in our midst? So what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that we can't, like David, see the cause. Too many church members don't even understand what the cause is we're involved in. That's a shame. That's a giant that needs slaying. Huh? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. There's a lot of folks come to church with this attitude and ask yourself the question, why do I come to church? You say, well, Jesus started where I'm commanded to go. But too many people come with this attitude, bless me, what can I get out of it, instead of coming to see what the cause is. We serve a bigger cause than me, a bigger cause than you. It's the cause of Christ. It's the cause of sending the gospel around the world. It's the cause of getting the gospel around the neighborhood. It's the cause of running those buses to reach souls. It's the cause of having a Christian day school to teach them what is right and wrong from the Word of God. That's the cause we're involved in. We're involved in the cause of training young people in college to go to the mission field or to be preachers or to be just soul winners and faithful to God. That's the big cause, but don't get your eye off the real cause. It's not just to bless you personally. It's just not about you and I. It's about the cause of Christ. I mean, why do we tithe? Well, we're commanded to from the Word, but we're involved in a cause. We want to tithe. We want to give to missions. We want to give because we want to see the gospel go around the world. That's the big cause. And David said, is there not a cause? The rest of them were only thinking about themselves, running from the giant. Don't let him get me personally, selfishly. But David said, hey, there's a cause bigger than us. This uncircumcised Philistine challenging the God of Israel. And David had a zeal that was right, and he had a faith in the God of Israel to take care of him, didn't he? I look here and I see that David realized he was in a big cause, bigger than him. I look here and see where he got his courage is because he reviewed the past victories he'd had. He talked about taking care of the lion and the bear. That was not a common thing for a shepherd boy to be able to go out there and defeat the lion that was after his sheep or the bear. But he realized, I defeated him because God was with me. And so he looks back and he reviews those victories. And, you know, you and I, if we would really take time to do it, we could review the giants God's helped us slay in the past. And that might help us to be a little bolder with the ones we face today. memory's a good thing. I get accused of remembering too much, but I do remember way back. And memory will help you have courage for what's going on now if you remember where God took you through a harder spot before. And he took you through that, he can take you through this. And it'll build you boldness and build your faith and build you trust. And we face a lot of giants. Some of you folks out there, you've got a giant of poor health. Some of us got the giant of old age slipping up on us. And better remember, though, God helped us before. And let's face the truth, our health one day is going to break to the place that the best thing God can do for us is take us on to heaven. And let's not act like we're the first ones that ever died. Let's not let the giant of death scare us to death. Let's not let the diagnosis the doctor gives scare us to death. It'll be a great thing if when that time comes, we can say, "Thank you, Lord. It's my time, I'm ready to go. I finished my course and I fought the fight you want me to fight." And go in peace. Go in peace. Now, I'd rather go up than down. I'd rather be in the rapture, taken up by the undertaker instead of letting the undertaker get a hold of me. I'd rather do that. But God's will there must be done. I'm not going to let the old giant of death scare me to death. Back me down. Make me whine all the time. Amen. We've all had some giants, and we still, a lot of folks face some giants today of heartbreak and other things that we could get into. But listen, did God overcome any of them in the past? Well, he did. Then trust him. Trust him for the future. He took care of the lions and bears in the past. Let's trust him to do it today. Here's a church. Oftentimes, I remind myself when we're in a tight place, like when the offerings are too low and under budget, I have to remind myself that God has seen us through those tight times before. I have to trust him. Not let that giant scare us too much. There's giants we faced in the past here as church. I remember when I said we were going to start a Christian school, and that's been a long time ago. I heard the lion roar and the bear growl. Oh, you can't do that. But you know what? God blessed, and we did. Amen. You can't have a Bible college this age, and the old devil roared against it. He still does, but we have been able to do it by the grace of God. Yeah. Overcome that giant, and just go right on down the line. I remember, I said this the other night, but I remember when I caught a lot of criticism when we started building the youth camp. What are you doing? Heard a lot of growling, not so much from my church members, because I was working them too hard for them to growl, but outside. What are you doing? Well, I tell you what we were doing. We were believing God. And we went against the giant, and we defeated the giant. And look what a blessing the camp's been through all these years. We didn't get afraid of the roaring and the growling. We just kept on going. And that's been true with the school and the camp and the college. Now, all the giants aren't dead yet. Goliath had a bunch of brothers. Really did. If you wanted to look at it, I won't turn to it. I'll just tell you, mark it down. Goliath's brothers are found in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And there were several of them. Ultimately, most of them were killed either by David or his friends and army and family, including Jonathan. One of those giants, the brothers of Goliath, had six fingers and six toes. He must have been something horrible to look at, I can imagine. But they were around. They were around. That's not all the giants that was in the Bible. There's some others. But the truth was, the devil always is going to have a giant come against us. Yep. We're going to have a warfare. We're going to have a challenge. We shouldn't. Peter said, don't get too excited, basically, about the fiery trial that's going to try you. Sure, but the thing is, David mounted up in faith, didn't he? I can imagine those soldiers there hiding around, and Saul, and all of them holding back. I imagine the attitude was that giant is too big to hit. But David's attitude was he was too big to miss. And he went right on out there and done the job because he was trusting God for it. Now, I don't think David took it lightly. I think he knew what he was facing. I really, really do. But I say this, I believe he got his courage because he realized the big cause he was involved in. I believe he had his courage because he reviewed the past victories and said, if God took me through that, he can take me through this. And hey, there's a lot of strength in that, folks. I mean, think back. Can you think of a worse time you went through than what you're going through now? Did God deliver you? You say, well, I was sick and I prayed and God didn't get me well. Well, he must have. You're still alive. He must have answered that prayer. You're still here. Amen. Can you think of a time it was tougher than it is now and God saw you through and got you by that giant? Sure you can. But then I hurry on to say, David drew his strength because he reasoned that God had his, David's future planned. Now think about that. Look at it here in the text. Look here in chapter 17. Pick it up with me in about verse 45, 6 right here. Verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines. That's the rest of your army, giant. These Philistines, the host of the Philistines, this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now, who's doing this? This teenage boy looking up at the giant, telling him what he's going to do to him. If you'd been sitting on a hill over there, you'd have said suicide. That giant's going to reach over and get him and bite his head off. And he's defying the devil, defying the one the devil has sent, defying this giant. Confidence? Well, he must have had it. Look at it in verse 48. Somebody said, did David have self-esteem? No, he had God esteem. Amen. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran away. Is that what your scripture says? Are you looking at it? And David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, to meet the giant. Talk about confidence. He's running toward the giant, not away from him. Man, perhaps he remembered something that happened, and you can read about it if you turn back to chapter 16. If you turn back to chapter 16 and pick it up in verse 13, Samuel the prophet has come to David's house. David's not home. He's out keeping the sheep. All the rest of the brethren are there, and God has sent him to anoint a king. But as all the boys are brought before him in the house of Jesse, Samuel says, no, it's not any of these. It's not the tallest one. It's not the oldest one. Don't you have another son? And Jesse said, well, yeah, one more, but he's young. He's out there keeping the sheep. Remember the story? Yes, sir. And Samuel had him brought in. So I look at it in chapter 16 and verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. What's the next statement? From that day forward. The Holy Spirit never left him. Now here he is, probably several years later, at least a while later, facing the giant. But he was anointed to be king. Can you imagine if David thought this giant can't kill me. The old prophet said I had a future. I'm going to be the future king of Israel. Now I can imagine his brethren, maybe even his dad, maybe even his friends, saying, well, old Samuel came by, and you know he got senile in his latter years. And he came by and he anointed young David, the shepherd boy, to be king. And what a joke that is. I could imagine the devil getting on David's shoulder and saying, "Now don't pay that old preacher any mind. He just was getting old, and he was kind of, you can't count on that." But David did count on it. Amen. He counted on the promise that God had a future for him. And I want to say to you and I, God has a future for us. Amen. He has a plan for us. Yes, he wants us to believe him. Amen. Think about that. He wants us to believe him. Samuel here had anointed him. The vow had been made, and David may have thought, God's got a future for me. God does have a future plan. It was because of David being preserved then that the seed of the Messiah was preserved. And Jesus came in the lineage of David through the house of Jesse. Remember? There was a future plan that God had in mind. God wasn't about to let David be killed by the giant. God had a plan in this thing. And the Messiah came because David lived that day. And he's coming again because he arose from the dead, and he's going to keep his promise, and he's got a future plan for me. Got a future plan for you. In Jesus Christ, you've got a future. Amen. I don't care how big the giant is in your life right now, how he's roaring and how you are afraid of him. God's got your future plan. It's complete in the Lord Jesus Christ in every way. Now, I see a prophetic picture here. I see little David against the big giant. I look around today and I see little Israel against the giants of this world, against the United Nations and all the crowd that's trying to push them into the sea. And God's got a future for Israel. They're not going to be exterminated. They're not going to be pushed into the sea. He's got a plan for his church. He's got a plan, and that plan of God is going to come about. Amen. It's going to happen. You read over in the Psalms where it says that the heathen rage against God's plan. How that God is going to sit in the heavens and laugh at them, because one day he's going to set his son on Zion's hill. He is going to rule. There is a future for those in Christ. And no matter how the devil roars against you or how big the giant is, we've got a future in Christ. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful truth. We look around today and see the big giants. We see the Antichrist spirit everywhere. We see the nations gathering, and they don't know it, but they're gathering for the Valley of Jehoshaphat, for Armageddon. They're gathering one day to resist the very Son of David coming back in his glory. Yes, Israel might look little and weak today, but God's still got a plan. The church might look like it's getting abused today, but God's got a plan. David took courage because he reasoned, my future's planned. God said this, and he believed him. And of course, God delivered. What an interesting thing. You know, I look around today and I know the Messiah came because God preserved the seed. He's coming again because he made that promise. All the signs point to it. You can't hardly see any news or read a newspaper, but what, the earthquakes are increasing so exponentially. I mean, just amazing how it is going on around the world. And the Lord is coming. Now, if you'd have been sitting on a hill that day overlooking the giant walk out, and then little David come out. We sang the song in Sunday school, the giant's 10 foot tall. He was at least that. He was that. Don't whittle him down. He was a pretty big fellow. David was probably the average size of a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid. If you'd been sitting over there and somebody would say, who are you going to pick to be the winner? Who are you going to place your bets on? Humanly speaking, you say that kid's in trouble. But you have to look above him and see the kid's God. See God's purpose and God's plan. And folks, today, if things are tough and the struggle is hard and the giants are roaring at you, listen, look past that. see what God's got in mind. There's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ over the giants of the devil in this old world. And don't, I guess I'm trying to be a little encouraging to us all tonight. It's so easy to get to look into all the bad things and forget who we're serving, whose cause we're involved in, and the one that has all power and has made all the promises to us. Let's be careful we don't let it beat us down. Amen. Let's just trust God and see what He is going to do. Amen? Amen? Would you bow your heads, women? Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I can't see hearts and minds, but I know all of us have got some giants. Maybe the giant of health or finances or trouble in the home and the family with the kids, whatever. But dear God, if we belong to you in Christ, we're the winners. And Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. No giant too big for you to strike down. Now I pray for the giants that we face tonight, but I pray that we'd have the attitude of a little David, that we've got a big God. No matter how big the giant is, our God is bigger. Help us to see that tonight. I pray you'd bless in families, bless in the needs and in the challenges. And I pray, Father, we would not be discouraged no matter what the news report says, but we keep looking in your word and see, Father, how it turns out. And thank you tonight. If we're in Christ, we're involved in a cause. I pray for the one tonight that may not know the Lord Jesus and their cause is just themselves. I pray they'd get their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved by trusting Him as Savior, the one that died for their sins. And then, Father, realize once they're saved, it's not over, it's the beginning. They've got a cause to serve and to do what they can to reach others. Bless the invitation tonight. I don't know how you've spoken to somebody's heart. Maybe, Lord, you just encouraged us a little bit that we don't cower in front of the giants of the devil in this old world.